sure missed last week as we was out. My dad had, those of y'all that may not know, my dad had fell last Saturday and broke his hip and had some, was supposed to have had surgery Sunday morning, and we got to the hospital and he had contracted an infection and couldn't have the surgery, so they did it Monday. He come home, I think it was Thursday, he come home and was in a good bit of pain, but is able to get up and walk. So I appreciate the prayers and the calls and the text. It really means a lot as you're there, but I sure did miss Sunday. I was knowing I was supposed to be somewhere and I couldn't be there. It's kind of tough, so I understand Terry done a great job, and I appreciate everyone supporting him. He is over at Rock Springs today, so be much in prayer for him as he preaches over there. So, again, excited to have you. Just ask that you get everything off your mind for a few minutes. I know it's hard, but we're here this morning for just a short time, and I think we should be able to dedicate our time and our efforts towards worshiping the Lord. We took some time to understand truly what's been done for us. We should have no problem doing that, and I promise you, as I begin studying the Word of God more and more, I understand how much has been done for me and how much I did not deserve it. So let's just praise Him this morning and have a great time. Do we have any prayer requests before we get into the service?
Remember my grandson.
Amen. Remember that. Be much in prayer for that right now. Remember Miss Lee? Whole church has got so much going on. I said this morning, I never remember a time when we've been so spread out throughout the summers we have this year. We got, of course, I understand people need vacation. I don't have any problem with that, but just seems like we've been separated a whole summer. So excited to get everybody back. I know we've got some out this morning moving those young ones back to school, back to college, and we've got some that's vacationing and different things. So pray for traveling mercies for them, and just pray that Lord, bring us all back together and we have our church back together. I miss each one of you. When you're not here, I sure do miss you. And we need to pray for one another on a daily basis. Any more prayer requests?
We have an employee with Child Nutrition that stands in desperate need of prayer this morning.
Amen. Remember that. Remember the teachers and students. The school will be starting back in Cleburne County Wednesday. Starting back all around us probably sometime this week. I know some of the schools out in Calhoun County, I think, still have 2 weeks left. That's closer to what we had when I was in school, I think. But just remember those teachers as the kids come back, and just pray that the Lord uses those students and the teachers in our schools. Anybody else? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come this morning thanking you for this day. Father, we thank you for all the ones that came out this morning. God, we ask that you meet with us this morning, God. We ask your spirit will be in our midst, and that, Lord, we can leave this place saying it was truly great to be in the house of the Lord. And God, as we bring these requests before you, these prayer requests, God, we ask that you work in each situation as you see fit. Father, you know way more about what they stand in need of than we do. And God, you know how to grant it in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. God, right now we ask a special prayer for Miss Louise's grandsons in the emergency room. God, we ask that you heal whatever the problem may be. God, that you comfort him, that you calm him if he's any nerves there, God, and just let him know that that you're always in control. And Lord, we ask you to be with our service, to be with our singers as they come to sing. Be with me as I preach. God, give me the words that somebody in this congregation stands in need of, God. I know you wouldn't put them on my heart if there wasn't a need. Lord, your word says it never returns void. It accomplishes what it goes out to do. And Father, that's our prayer this morning, that we leave here different than when we came in. God, we ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Fear feels bigger than my faith. Struggle steal my breath away. Up against the wall with the weight of my worry stacked up tall, strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope. the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. This war's not what I would have chosen. You see the future, no one knows yet. There's still good when I can't see the working of your hands. You're holding it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I'm finding there's freedom when I lay it all on your shoulders. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you.
Amen. Let's take time to welcome each other this morning.
Thank you. Is the land
Appreciate that. I was, Lord laid this message on my heart about 2 weeks ago and began preparing for it and was all ready to preach it last Sunday. And of course, I didn't get to from having to be with Dad, but I began praying again this week about what to preach, and this message is still on my heart. And so I know it must be for someone if it's not only for me. And this is one of those messages where when you're preparing for it, you say, oh me, a bunch, and you have to repent a bunch, and you have to do a lot of praying because this thing hits you square in the face and you see how guilty you are. And if you got your Bibles, turn over to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And as you turn in, I tried to come up with a crafty message for this sermon, and title for this sermon, and come up with several different ones. One of them I had was missing the Savior for the sunbeam, which I was afraid nobody would get that one because probably nobody eats sunbeam bread but me. But one that fits this greatly, that fits this message, is missing the forest for the trees. You've heard that saying a lot of times, missing the forest for the trees. And if you take out your cell phone, don't do it now, but if you take out your cell phone, you Google missing the forest for the trees, it's actually in Webster's Dictionary on there. It gives you a meaning of it. It's missing the big picture for all the fine details. In other words, we go into the forest and we begin picking out pine trees or oak trees, and we forget to see that it's a whole giant forest, that there's many trees there. And to this story we're preaching about today, there was a great group who was following Christ, and because of some hard sayings, they missed. They missed the bread of life. They was given bread from miraculous bread that Jesus blessed, and all of them was fed, but they truly missed the bread of life. And I'm so worried today that in our churches and and all around the world, not just here in Heflin, Alabama, that I'm afraid there's people that surround the Savior every day, maybe 40, 50 years of their life, and never, ever receive him into themselves. Never come to a saving knowledge of him and been around him all this time. And how sad is it to think about that this morning? And I began thinking about some things, and one of the questions I've wrote down here to ask is, why did you come here this morning? Now listen, if you're visiting, I'm so glad you're with us, and please come back. I'm not trying to discourage you from coming. By no means would I do that, but why are you here this morning? If I was to go around asking this question, we'd have many different answers. Some would say, I was brought here from a youth. My mother, my father brought me here when I was a small kid. I've been in New Harmony Baptist Church all my life. And if I talked to some more, I would say, why did you come? And if you was honest with me, you would say, I felt obligated. I felt obligated because that's what my mother and dad's always done and what my family does on Sunday morning. So I just feel it's a necessity to come into the house of God. I feel an obligation to come. I feel like it's a place I should be. And listen, that's a good thing. But if I ask some more of you, you'd say, well, I was visiting with people and they brought me here. And so this is why I'm at this place. And we all have many different reasons why we're here. But I want you to see this morning that no matter what the reason why we're here, God's got us here for a specific reason. He's got us here. He knew exactly what I would preach before the foundation of the world. He is that great of God. He's that knowing of a God, and nothing sneaks up on him. He knew exactly that my dad was going to have that fall last Saturday. He knew that I was going to miss that Sunday, and this message would be preached the next Sunday when you was here. So I'm just dumb enough to believe he's got everything under control. I believe he's in control of everything, and I believe nothing slips by him. But this morning, I want you to think about this group that was following Jesus, and how was it possible that they missed him and being this close to him? How is it possible that anybody could miss Jesus and hear him preached every Sunday? How is it possible that anybody in the United States of America could miss out on being saved as much gospel as we have in this place? Now you say, wait a minute, preacher, we're living in a time when things are extraordinarily bad in our nation. And we even saw a time back in, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, when Dallas, Texas, I think it was, or someplace in Texas, the mayor began examining the sermons before they was preached. And you say, we're seeing some of these things go on. But I want to tell you something. There's still more gospel preached in this nation than anywhere in the world. You can go get online, you can turn your radio on, and right now at this very minute, you could hear somebody preaching. You can turn your radio on at 10 o'clock tonight, and you can hear Charles Stanley preaching from probably a message recorded this morning or last week or whatever. But in the United States of America, if people go to hell, it's by their own doing. It's by their own doing because the gospel is prevalent and the gospel is out there. And listen, if you want a Bible, you can go to the Dollar General and you can find a Bible. Or you can go to Walmart or bless God, if you don't have any money, you can get in touch with the Gideons and they'll give you a Bible. The Word of God is all around us and salvation is all around us. So why in the world will people leave this world missing Christ? I hope we can answer some of these questions for you today. But I want you to see this group. Yeah, I'm going to read a few verses in John chapter 6, then we'll turn back to the first part of John chapter 6. But the text will be coming from John chapter 6, verse number 26 through 29. It says, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we ask you to open this word up to us this morning. God, we ask you to anoint this preaching. God, touch it with your mighty hand. And Lord, open hearts and soften hearts and draw souls into you. If there's people in this place that doesn't know you, I pray they will before they leave. And God, don't not today, that they will before it's everlasting too late. And God, we ask you just to touch all of those and get everything off our mind that we may focus on your word for just a few minutes and all these blessings. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So I began looking at this and thinking about it. And I wanted to see, read that to you to get you thinking about what Jesus had told them and this message he gave them. But if you turn back to the first part of John, the first of John chapter 6 and the number one first verse there, let me read to you some of this and show you some history about how these people got to where Jesus was talking to them in verse 26. It said, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, And there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. And he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that would come into the world. So I want you to see, they had a great start, didn't they? They had a great start. They was here with the Savior, and they saw something miraculous happen. They saw him feed 5,000 with 2 small loaves, and all of these little small 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they saw this great miracle take place. And man, wouldn't you love to have been there in that day? And to saw all those people sitting on the grass. And listen, you got to understand something. This was a different day and age than we live in today. Food is prevalent in my country where me and you live. In the United States of America, even if you say you don't have much, most of us have food to eat. If you don't, you can go somewhere and somebody next door to you has food they will give you. But in this day, it was not so. They came here and they was hungry, and the Bible said Jesus had compassion on them, and he told them to sit down, and he took this little lunch that this little boy had, and that's a whole different sermon. We're not going to get into that, but he took this little lunch this boy had, and he blessed this thing. And what he did, he had so much bread that everybody eat until it was full. Now listen, this was a rare occurrence in that day that you eat until you was full. You simply eat in that day until you had enough to survive. You never hardly eat until you was full. But these people, brother, they eat all they could eat, and they couldn't put a bit more bread or fish in their mouth. They had all they could handle, and it said they still took up 12 baskets full after everybody was filled. Now I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like a pretty good start. Now that sounds like a pretty good place to get to know Jesus, right there among all that miracle stuff that was going on and everything they'd done. So there's no doubt to me that they saw a right start. They had a good start on this thing of coming to know the Lord. Now, I want you to think about you this morning. Many of you are here every Sunday. You hear the Word of God preached to the best of my ability. I may not be that great at it, but bless God, I give it a try. And I began studying this week about this. And as pastor, you always want to know what people are looking for in the church. Or I do, and I think if you don't, then you're missing the mark. But I began looking about today, about this message, and one part of it we'll get to, is about what is people looking for in the church. And I thought I knew. I thought I was going to get to hound on you a little bit about people wanting. But there's a group that called all these people, asking them, what do they want in a church? When they're seeking out a church to go to, what do they want? And I was very surprised by the answer. It said 82% of them said the preaching was very important to them. And boy, I like to jump on a pew today, because that's exciting to me, because we are led to believe that people don't care about preaching anymore, or they don't want no part of it. And I'm not saying that everybody likes the style of preaching I preach, or that everybody even likes Charles Stanley style, or Billy Graham style, or whatever it may be. But it's important that people still are concerned about the preaching. You know why? Because the Bible says, unless it's somebody's preaching the Word of God or reading the Word of God or teaching the Word of God, people cannot be saved. So it excited me to know that people still care about preaching. And bless God, listen, they was around some preaching right here. Now they saw Jesus take these loaves, and they see him break them and give out to these people. And oh, can you imagine the excitement that was in that place? And can you imagine that how they told one to another, hey, you ought to hear and see this man. He speaks words we can't even imagine how great they are. And not only does he speak great words, not only is he a great power, and not only is people being healed of disease, but let me tell you what I saw him do. I saw him take a little boy's lunch, and he prayed. And when he prayed, he had enough food that he fed all 5,000 men. Now, Bible scholars say they could have been upwards of 15,000 people here at this place. Counting the women and children, said they could have been that many people. But let's go with what the Word says. It says 5,000, so it's still a great miracle that 5,000 was fed. So he fed these 5,000 and still had enough to go around. And how amazing it would have been, and what a great start to get to know the Savior, of seeing that all of that. Boy, I'd love to see it. Listen, that even today our pews are filled with people who have saw Jesus do great miracles. I could ask you this morning, what's the greatest thing you've ever seen the Lord do? And you would tell me something you saw in such and such year. You would tell me about one time you was in New Harmony Baptist Church or some other church, and this brother who had been a rough living all his life, he come to know the Lord. We know that's the greatest miracle can happen. Or you may tell me that you was cured from cancer. Or you may tell me you was cured from diabetes or many other things. You could tell me of great things you have seen. So listen, there's people who have a great start. There's people who have a great start. They're around the Word their whole life. They're around the miracles of Jesus their whole life. They are brought to church, such as my girls. Bless God, my girls have a drug problem. They've been drugged to church since the time they was born. One of them was born, I think, around Bible school time. She was a week old, and all them old people said, you can't take that baby anywhere. My grandmother liked to have a heart attack. Because one of them was born, and on the way home we had to have diapers, so we stopped by Walmart. You would think we'd beat that child, my grandmother. You can't take them in public till they're 6 weeks old. But listen, mind the time they was a week old, they was drugged to church. They've been drugged to church from Lineville to Ramburn to all around this area. And bless God, if I live a little bit longer, they'll be drugged a little further. But listen, they've been drugged to church, they've been in church, they've seen all these things. But listen, it still doesn't mean that they know the Savior. Because they've seen the miracles. It still doesn't know they know the Savior. Listen to this. Not only we see a right start, I want you to look at a hard message. John chapter 6, verse 26, back where I started. Jesus begins telling them a hard message. Listen, people today do not like to hear hard messages. I told you, they said that 83%, 82% of the people love to hear preaching. They said preaching was very important about where they went to church. But listen now, what they didn't say is what kind of preaching. What they didn't say is, do they like to be told the truth? Do they like to understand the truth? Or they simply want to be told that Jesus is love and everything's great and wonderful and flowers smell good and they're pretty and all this stuff. Listen, you begin getting to preaching the true word of God, I'm going to show you something. You begin losing some people. You begin losing some people. Listen to what happened here. It said, Jesus answered them, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Boy, can you imagine being there and you saw the Savior do all these things, and you study that scripture back a little more, you'll find that Jesus went missing on them. He went into a place by himself to get away from the crowd. And as this nighttime come, and the disciples got in a boat and they went over that Sea of Tiberias to another place. And all this multitude saw that happen. And listen, they also saw Jesus was not in the boat with them. And the next morning, Jesus is on that other side. And they realized that a boat didn't get there. So surely, this great Savior must have got there by some way. How in the world did he get here? But Jesus, when he runs into him, he says, hey, y'all not seeking me for the miracles you seen? Y'all not concerned about what I can do as God? You're not concerned about I can save your soul? The reason you're here this morning, the reason you're looking for me is because you want some more bread. Boy, is that just not like us. Listen, I began talking about it in Sunday school, and I like to preach this message down there about when you study out what kind of people we are today, you know what they call us? We are a consumer generation. We're a consumer generation. You know what that means? We consume stuff. Boy, we use it up left and right. We cannot, and we do not get enough. Miss Penny said her closet looks like a Goodwill store. I don't know if she's in here, but Sandy, I'm not talking about her. I'm telling the truth here. She said it, and she said yours too. Said her closet looks like the Goodwill store. Looks like a thrift store in it. And listen, most of ours does. We have way more than we want, but we just consume. We cannot get enough. Out on the church steps this morning, I'll get in trouble for this, Rudy, but I'll ask for penance in a minute. But we was getting out of the truck, and Stephanie found something from some kind of gypsy in Texas. I don't know what the name of it was, but it was some kind of leopard print dress that, boy, she just had to have. And listen, these consumers are bright on this stuff. You know what they did? Even on a $30-something dress, you can pay 4 easy payments. Interest-free. I thought she's going to order it on the doorstep. Not even knowing what I was preaching this morning. I wasn't going to tell her either. I was going to make her feel bad. But listen, we are consumers. We consume all we can. And listen, we want to get our hands on everything. And it's human nature to want to get all you can do. I preach about it all the time. You take some little children, you put them in a room, and what happens? You get a fuss because one wants all the toys, or one wants all the candy, or all the suckers. We are that when that sin come into the world, this thing was given to us to be a consumer. And we want everything we can get our hands on, and we don't care what it takes to get it, and how easy we can take our eyes off the Savior, trying to fill our own bellies. You don't believe this? You look at some of our church signs around.
You look at some of our church buildings around. You look at some of our, he listened on the radio at some of our church entertainment, and it sounds like, and it looks like you've got a place that's almost a fair. You listen to radio and they'll say, we've got something for all ages. We've got excitement going on this time. We got this going on this time. We got this for your children. We got this for your middle-aged adults. We got this for your elderly. And we got this for all different things. Brother, you want something? We've got it at this place. I wonder what would happen if you put an ad for New Harmony Baptist Church on the radio and said, come at 10 o'clock. We got something very important for you. And we got the most exciting thing in the world. We have Jesus Christ. How many people would say, but he didn't mention nothing about my kids. But he didn't mention nothing about Awanas. He didn't mention nothing about all these other things we can come up with. But what if he was to tell them that I simply have a Savior for your little ones. I have a Savior for your family. I have a Savior for you. If you accept him, you get to miss a place called hell. What if you told them about this? I'm afraid you wouldn't have many people visit your church. We're consumers. We brought it in. People are marketing geniuses. It amazes me how great people are of getting you dialed into something and making you want something. Man, the colleges are doing a great job on this because they trip me up all the time on Ford trucks. Every time I think I got the best one, Kyle, they come out with something better. You think you've got one with the most power, and you watch the commercial, you just got home on that new one, and you love it, and they say the brand new 2019 F-150, 500 horsepower. Well, doggone. I got to go get a new one. They're geniuses at this stuff. They know exactly what we are. They're consumers. We are consumers. We want to get all we can get a hold of. And that's what Jesus was telling them in that day. He said, you're not here because you want me as God. You're not here because you want a Savior. You're not here because you're in a lost condition. You are here seeking me because you eat until your bellies was full and you saw what it was when it was around me. Listen, I'm so afraid that people come to church just to be around the good fellowship. And I love the good fellowship. There's definitely nothing wrong with it. The Bible talks about fellowship. I'm afraid there's people come to church because their sweetie is here. Amen. I'm afraid there's people that come to church for many other reasons. I'm being a little comical this morning, but listen, the message of this is the reason you should be here is seeking a holy God. Is seeking a relationship with a holy God. And listen, all this other stuff is great. I don't have a problem with it. I love to have good fun. Those of y'all that know me and know I love to cut up, sometimes maybe a little too much. And it gets me in trouble sometimes. But I love this stuff. And I love having fun and all of this. But listen, I want New Harmony Baptist Church to be a place that not only do we have fun, but a place that a sinner can come into. And bless God, they hear the Word of God preached. They hear the Word of God sung. And they're not just around Him. They can actually seek Him and find Him. Listen, all this other stuff is great, but Jesus said, you didn't want me because of who I was and because of what I can do for you. All you want is because you eat and you are filled. You don't believe it? You go to some of these places, and listen, I'm not going to call any names, throw down, but listen, things could be great for 2 or 3 years. And all of a sudden something happens and something changes. Maybe leadership changes, or maybe the money not's good anymore. They're not able to offer all the programs they used to be able to offer. They're not able to do all this. And all of a sudden, that big crowd has dwindled down to just a few. You know what was happening? Those people were consumers. They were searching about what they could do for them. And listen, does everybody know Tom Rainer? Tom Rainer, the president of the Love Lifeway, I guess he still is, or he was, he wrote a book called I'm a Church Member, and y'all went through it because I saw it here before I come. I saw the book on the shelf in yonder, and if you study that book, I'm a Church Member, you know what he says? He said there's two types of mentalities in the church. There's either a church member mentality, or there's a country club mentality. The country club mentality says, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? What can you offer me in this place? What can you offer my family in this place? I'm not talking about the Lord. They want to know physically, what can you do for them before they'll join your church? What have you got to offer that might excite me, that might entertain me? What have you got to do about that? And listen, then you've got the church member mentality, what we're supposed to have. It says, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I serve my community? And the sad thing is most churches is missing the mark in this. And he wrote another book about about deceased churches. The autopsy of a dying church is what he says in Tom Rainer's one of his last books. And I read that thing. And you know what? Some of that exact stuff he says, you see it in every old Baptist church in our nation. You see it there. You see it in there, and we're not going to get on that right now, but listen, I'm talking about a hard message he gave them. Yeah, you're not here because you want me. You're here because I fed you. And he tells them, verse 27, do not work for the meat, don't labor for the meat which perish, but for that which endureth everlasting life, the Son of Man shall give unto you, for that God the Father has sealed. Then they said unto him, verse 28, what shall we do that we might work? What shall we do that we may work? You told us to labor in verse 27 for the meat which don't perish. So show me what kind of work can we do. Show me what can I do. You realize how just like a church this is. First of all, they're trying to get all they can for themselves. But then when they realize that the hard messages come, the next thing we want to do is, what can I do that I can be what he's called me to be? What can I do? What can I do to be right with the Lord? Well, can I go out and feed the hungry? Or can I go out and can I start preaching if that's what he's called me to do? Or can I become a deacon or a Sunday school teacher? Or what in the world can I do? And Jesus tells them right here, he says, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who has sent me. The work of God, the only thing you can do that makes you right with God. And listen, we prepare all this stuff so we can keep you here for 30 minutes, it seems like sometimes. And listen, how quick can we simply tell this story and sum it all up is this right here. If you want to be right with God, if you want the right things of God, it's pretty simple. You have faith in a risen Savior. You have faith in the very Son of God. That's the only work you can do. Now listen, after you become to know him, you should want to work for him. You should be your desire to grow the kingdom of God. If you don't desire to see lost people saved and your church get closer to God and your community be ministered to, then listen, something is wrong with you. Something is wrong. So we got a hard message. Begin telling them, look, you've got a problem. Then a misinterpretation. They said, what kind of work can we do? I don't understand. What kind of work can we do? He tells them, he says, you don't have to do any work. Work I'm talking about is believing on me. I'm talking about believing on the true bread. Then we see another hard saying, John chapter 60. Look at this. Jesus begins to tell them something about the bread of life. He tells them all through those verses about he is the bread. Verse 60 said, many therefore disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself, the disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, does this offend you? What and if shall you see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? If the spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and whom should betray him. And he said, therefore said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why did they walk no more with him? Because they didn't understand what he was saying. They was around the true bread of life all the time, and he was telling them about he was the bread of life. For the sake of time, I skipped over it, but go back and read it. He tells them, I'm the bread of life. Jesus, God sent me from heaven. I'm the true bread. And you see, these Jews at this time, they wanted a sign. They said, Moses gave us the bread from heaven. He said, no, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. God gave you manna from heaven. And he said, listen, I am way better than that bread from heaven, because the bread, the manna that fell, yes, it was divine. Yes, it was of God. They had to go out and pick it every single day. They had to pick it up and have it daily. But listen, Jesus tells them, he says, I'm the true bread. Those of y'all that eat of me will never hunger again. Those of y'all that drink of my blood will never thirst again. He said, I'm so much better than manna, because only one time have you got to come to me. He said, I am the true bread. He says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. They begin thinking carnally and said, this is how we're going to do this. This don't make no sense. This man's wanting us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I don't understand this. So you know what they did? They did exactly what so many people in our pews do today. They start coming to a church. They begin getting involved. The preacher begins preaching. The Spirit of God begins drawing them. I just read to you where it says no man can come unless the Father draws them. God begins softening that heart. God begins letting them see they're a sinner. And they begin hearing some of these hard sayings. The preacher begins preaching that once you come to know Christ, you are going to be a changed creature. You're going to be a different creature. All those old things are going to be passed away. Behold, all things are going to come new. You got to get out of this lifestyle. You need to change this lifestyle. And all of a sudden they say, this is a hard saying. I can't do this. I can't tell you how many people you talk to and you'll ask them, will you please come to Christ? Will you accept him? You know what they'll say? I will when the time comes. When I can live it, I will. When I can get to a point in my life where I truly want to settle down, then I will. May I tell you a little secret, brother? That never comes. That never comes. The Bible says we better seek him while he's near. Seek him while he's near. This was a hard saying, so they left. It said, at this time, from that time, him, his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now listen, this is not the 12 we're thinking about. This was all those that followed him in John chapter 6, verse 1. All the ones who saw the multitude fed. Probably many of them who even eat and their bellies was full. Many of those didn't follow him no more because of hard sayings. No more didn't follow him anymore because this stuff was impossible for them to do. Listen, salvation, my friend, is impossible for you to do. You cannot work enough. You cannot do enough good. There is no way you can earn it. All you can simply do is believe on Jesus Christ. And to many people, that's a hard saying. They turned back and went no more. There was a mass leaving. A whole bunch left him that day. But I want to show you this in closing. There was a man that got it. The man that got it. John chapter 6, verse 67 and 68. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter had a moment. Peter had a moment right there when Jesus was teaching all those and telling about the hard sayings. Peter realized something. There's no other words I've ever heard. There's nothing else I've ever heard that promises eternal life but the words of Jesus Christ. Listen, you can search out any other religion you want to. You can go to anything else you want to search out, and I promise you something. You will not find another word anywhere in the world that promises eternal life through a risen Savior nowhere in the world. You go and search it out. I don't care what religion it is. All of them, they have somebody they look to, but bless God, they're dead. You can go to Muhammad's grave. You can go to Buddha's grave. You can go to all these others' grave, but you can even go to the grave where Jesus lay, but you know what's there? It's empty. He is risen. He's on the right hand of the Father. Who else do you know that's got that kind of power? Who else do you know you can go to that can do these type of things? Where else can you go? Peter got it. Peter understood it. I'm warning today, at New Harmony Baptist Church, is there some people under the sound of my voice, you may have been here 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. A long time you may have been here. You've been around this thing for years. Now, you've seen all the miracles. You've seen all this because of hard sayings. You really have not accepted it. You've never asked him in your heart and life. There's never been a time when you cried out to him and said, Jesus, save me, a sinner. There's never been a time. Listen, I don't remember a time in my ministry where I've ever preached salvation as many times as I have in the last 2 months here. I can't understand it. All I do is preach what he lays on my heart. But listen, is there somebody here this morning that's around it every day? Every Sunday you're around it. Every Wednesday you're around it. But bless God, you're missing the forest for the trees. You may be involved in the youth group. You may be involved in the elderly group. You may go with us to eat when we take the elderly out to eat. You may be in there with us in the youth room on Wednesdays. And all this time, you're around it all the time. And you hear it, but because of a hard saying, you leave out. Never accepting it. And you miss the bread of life. You miss it. Listen, these people, I know you can't take a lot of these statistics, but people spend time and money, so I use them. Southern Baptists spend a lot of time and money trying to figure out this stuff because it's no secret. Southern Baptist churches are declining all around us. The churches are gaining more churches, but the baptism, which we don't know anybody's heart, but just judging by the baptisms, less and less people are being converted. What is the problem? What's the problem? The problem is, I believe we've got so many people around it, but never accepting it. So many people in it, but never accepting it. But then hard sayings come, and they leave because they never really got it. But bless God, there's some here and this morning that I believe with all my heart you got it. You understand it. And listen, I'm proud for you, and I rejoice with you, and I'm happy for you. Oh, but my heart breaks for those who's around this, and because of something they let pride keep them away because they're worried about this person will laugh or that person will laugh. Listen, don't worry about who will laugh. Don't worry about what they'll think. I've heard just this week, we've got a Ken folks that he does a lot of work with Atlanta First Baptist Church. He does a lot of singing with Atlanta First Baptist. You'll see him on the TV sometimes. He's a young guy. He's in his late teens or early 20s. And guess what happened to him Thursday night? He got saved. He realized he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Has been around Charles Stanley's preaching all these years. Had been around the singers all these years. Had been in the Sunday school class at Atlanta First Baptist, no doubt, are probably top notch. I've read a lot of Charles Stanley stuff. I read a lot of it. I read his daily devotional. I know that's godly stuff there. He's around it every single day, but he had missed it up to that point. He had missed it. You may be here this morning. Man, you've heard it preached 100 times. You've heard me preach it since I've been here the last 2 years, 1,000 times. But today, for some reason, you get it. You get it. There's nowhere else you can go but Jesus Christ. I beg you this morning, do not miss the forest for the trees. Do not miss the bread of life for what can searching for what can fill you. The most important thing I believe that we can do for our children, we can do for our families, is have them involved at a place where the Word of God is preached, sung, and taught. I'm not saying New Harmony Baptist Church is the only place. I'm not. There is great places all around us. Within 5 miles of here is a bunch of great ones. You, if it's not here, you get them somewhere. You get them somewhere. I wish it was here. But if it ain't gonna be here, you get them somewhere. They can hear a man of God preach the Word of God. Not water it down. Preach it as it's to be preached. And stand on it and live it. You get them in that place. You get yourself in that place. Bless God, I pray that He'll touch that heart and He'll draw you and you'll come to an understanding. That not only you don't need to be around Him. You see, these multitudes, you've heard people say, if you had seen Christ, surely they must have been saved. They'd laid their eyes on Him. Listen, they eat bread He had blessed and they still missed it. Bread that His hands had touched, they put in their mouth and they eat. And they still miss the bread of life. People in our churches, grandmas, grandpas, mom and daddies, will leave out of this walks of life missing the bread of life because they was more concerned about what they could be filled with entertainment-wise, what you could entertain them with. Had a preacher friend pastored a church over on the other side of Cleburne County. He started out over there, there's about 20 people. He'd have families visit. They'd have children. They wouldn't stay. They said, "Brother, we enjoy the preaching. We enjoy the singing, but we can't be here because of kids. Why don't you get more youth?" He said he finally asked one of them, said, "What do you want me to do, start an orphanage?" He said, "Some people's got to come here with youth. It's the way this thing starts. So people's got to come here." What he was telling them was, listen, most important thing is grabbing a hold of who Jesus is, letting Him be Lord of your life. He'll take care of the rest of it. You get your children around that and get your family around that. That's the best you can do. As our singer come forth, Miss Pat comes and plays on the piano. Everyone would please stand. I think years ago they should have changed the name of this invitation time to decision time. It gives you a chance to make a decision. You see, I get to prepare all week. And boy, it'll get you down. You prepare all week and you preach your heart out and nothing moves. But as we went to the ark, it helped me with some of that. They had a little video playing in the ark there and it said, they asked Noah, said, "What about the animals? How are you going to get the animals to come?" Noah told him, he said, "God didn't tell me to get the animals to come. God said, build an ark." Listen, my job is simply preach you the Word of God. I can't make a single soul come to Him. I can't save a single person. I can point you to a Word that's got salvation all in it. It's up to you today whether you accept it. Don't leave this place missing the forest for the trees. And sure don't leave. There's some of y'all that probably never be back. You're from somewhere else. Don't leave this walks of life missing this bread of life because of something you wanted to fill the flesh with. As she sings, be honest with yourself.